Okay, so I hear you like books.
Why, yes, I do.
That's right. When I was your age, television was called books. And this is a special book.
Because when you read a book as a child, it becomes part of your identity in a way that no other reading in your whole life does, and I have gotten carried away.
Yeah. Yeah, you have.
Are you seeing the books? Everything you would want to read is right here. Feel it. Feels good, right? Just smell it. Nothing smells like that.
Welcome, friends, to episode 13 of Team Friendship Reads the Newberries. This week, we're going to be discussing the book Johnny Tremaine by Esther Forbes. How are you ladies doing? We survived the holiday season. We made it. And by made it, I mean we're all alive. That's all that counts. Mm-hmm.
I think we all have colds or getting over.
Yes,
cold.
I'm terribly sorry for whatever my voice may do. This is much better than I thought it would be.
I don't really know if mine's a cold. There's just a lot of the sinuses, or there's a lot.
It's the holidays. Does it to you?
You get around more people than you normally around and spread the germs.
Yes, it's incredibly cold here. And I realize that the news is generally dramatic. I watch Good Morning America, and they are quite dramatic in their news coverage. Today they were freaking out because it was 11 degrees in New York City, and it was like this record-breaking cold and everything, and I'm looking at our temperature, and it's -8 here. Like, that's the real temperature. That's not like feels like -8. It's really -8 in the morning. Guys, you're all going to live. It's going to be okay.
You'll be all right.
They're freaking out about us over in Europe. I follow a Europe.
They're freaking out.
It's like a storm chaser Europe page where they like posted a graphic of the United States and Canada.
Yeah, it's cold over here.
They're like, I can't imagine being that cold. I'm like, does it not get that cold over there? Like, there's
cooler places. They're closer to the ocean in most of those places.
Okay, yeah.
Interesting.
Well, they feel bad for us, apparently.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Europe.
We'll be all right, though. This isn't our first rodeo.
No,
okay?
we'll do this every year.
It's probably going to get worse. We're only at the beginning of January.
Well, next week is supposed to be in the 30s, so it's going to feel really warm. So I'm looking forward to it.
Woo, 30s.
I'm going to go outside and run around.
Yeah, I'm going to run.
I got fleece-lined leggings.
I'm going to videotape it.
Yeah, you're going to do that.
Yep.
I'm excited for you to have fun. Are you going to run with your husband?
Oh, no. We can't run together.
Yeah, that didn't seem like a bad idea.
I was going to say, he's probably faster.
Yeah. We can't run together. We can't ride bikes together. He just, he has to slow way down. And it's not helpful for him. And then
I
just
feel like that's kind of a guy thing, though. They have this way of moving that's like.
Well, he has longer legs than I do, which is
part
of it.
I think they defy gravity, men.
Yeah. I mean, they're stronger, so maybe coming up off the earth.
Maybe it's a muscle thing.
I don't know.
Are you going to take Nora?
No, I'm not. So that's the problem.
When are you going to do this?
I know, that's the thing is I have to find, I'm probably only going to be able to do the running part, like, on the weekends.
Yeah.
She's got to train.
I have to train.
For her event.
It's a 5K, which probably to people that run are like, that's not really anything. But for me, it's something because I hate running.
We should get popcorn and watch her on the sidelines.
Yeah, I'm going to have to.
Be at the finish line.
5K might be too much for me. All right. Should we get into our first segment?
Let's do it.
For the love of books. I've had much book love recently. I set a book goal on Goodreads. Feel free to follow me there. I'm very active in the book world on Goodreads. I wanted to read 50 books last year, but I set that goal pretty late in the year. Mm-hmm. I hit 25 and I was like, sure, I'll get to 50. Mm-hmm. I think that was in like July or August. Might have been later than that. But I pushed through and I wanted to finish strong. So I did read shorter. I don't know if they're technically YA. I guess they are, kind of. But I wanted to make sure they were meaningful and stuff that I would, books that would educate me and open my mind to different points of view. So I read recently Wish Tree by Catherine Applegate.
We were just talking about that. It's on the list of best books of 2017.
I would agree. It's, I enjoyed it. Did you enjoy it?
Like, I loved it. I really loved it. Yeah. It's a short read. I mean, it's not, I think it's like considered a middle grade book. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but it's so good. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone should read that book. There's no reason for you not to read that book.
You heard it here, folks. I also read Feathers by Jacqueline Woodson, and I like her voice in her books. I can hear her reading it, even though I read this one in paper copy. I could hear her audiobook voice in my head. Yeah. It was really good. We listened to an audiobook in the car on the way up to my husband's family in Minnesota. We had our nephew with us. He is 5, I think. We listened to Ramona the Pest, which is book 2 in the Ramona series by Beverly Cleary. I wasn't a big fan of that book. Did you guys read the Ramona series when you were kids?
I've never read any of the Ramonas.
Thought that I had, and maybe I hadn't, because these books are very, I don't know. Ramona is definitely a pest. Some stuff happened I just wasn't a fan of. I don't know.
You think it was just this book? Maybe the other ones are better?
Maybe, because this was a book too, so maybe it was just pressure to get something out or something. I don't know, but.
Didn't she also write books about Ramona's brother? I think he has his own series
as well. I don't know if it's her brother or a friend or something. No, I don't know. There is a boy series. Books.
Maybe that's something different. I don't know.
Now,
this is what happens when I just start saying things that aren't part of my notes. I need to stick to my notes. Fudge.
Lauren needs structure.
I do.
So, okay, so I'm almost done, guys. The less you think I'm going to list all 50 books.
I was hoping you would.
I also finished Wonder. I started a while back, but I finally finished it. It was very good. We've also seen the movie.
So good.
Yes, was it good?
It was delightful. I cried through the whole thing.
She really did.
I cried through the whole book, but yeah,
it was good. I enjoyed it. And then another book, which I would highly recommend, especially the audiobook. It was fun. I listened to it a lot in the car when I was on my way to work or home or wherever. It's called Escape from Mr. Limoncello's Library by Chris Grabenstein.
It's like a dessert.
It does sound like a dessert.
Yeah, it is a dessert. We used to sell it.
What a fun name.
This book was fun. It's a game kind of strategy book. So you're trying to solve clues, and you don't have to solve the clues. The kids solve them for you, but if you want to try to play along, you can. It's a lot about libraries, obviously. They are in a library and they're talking about library culture and history. But it's all very fun and very Willy Wonka-ish, I guess. It's been compared to that a lot. Nice. So if you love board games, there's a lot of board game references. And so it was just a really fun, easy read, but I enjoyed it. And I think it would give a child more appreciation for the library in a very fun way.
Nice.
So I finished my 50 books, and I got a little sentimental looking over this past year. I feel like with all of our YA focus and like children's literature and stuff like that, I've learned a lot and I feel like it's been a good year. Right? Good book year, at least.
I'm going to track myself this year.
Good
idea.
Goodreads is the easiest. I highly recommend it.
And if you have Kindle, it's connected to Kindle. So I'll start if I'm starting a book in Kindle, it will keep track of it in Goodreads automatically. You don't have to start anything. It's kind of creepy but cool at the same time. Yeah.
And it's good at suggesting books if you're ever in a slump and
based on previous books you've read. Yeah. Or they'll just, like, it's almost like they have, like, a quote-unquote news page where they'll just say, like, this is the top book in science fiction right now, or, like, you know, whatever.
I don't know if there was a big promo on Goodreads or what, but shortly after Christmas, maybe a bunch of people got Kindles, shortly after Christmas, I probably had 10 or 12 people joining me. I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
But
it wasn't us. No one listens to this podcast. No. So
I don't know if people are making New Year's resolutions to read be more proactive in reading. But
I should get on my Kindle. I wonder if I have a bunch of friends.
Yeah, it was interesting. Anyway, so that was a lot, but that was my book news. Love books.
Well, I also had a goal, and I did the same thing you did, Lee. I think I started out with 25 as my goal, and I hit it pretty quickly, and so I just kept upping it and upping it. But yeah, so I upped it to 50, and then we're getting closer and closer to the end of the year, and I had like 6 books left that I had to read, and so I was like, oh, I better get going. But I did it, And this, I feel like this is the most books that I've read in a year ever, like in my life.
I feel the same way.
Me too.
And how many of you read this?
Just gonna be real. I mean, whatever ones we'd have to go back through the podcast.
Oh, just the ones you read for the podcast. Yeah.
Oh man, dude.
Anyway, I just want to say a few thank yous.
Oh boy.
What has she got written up there?
So first, I want to thank audiobooks. Just audiobooks in general, yes. Because without audiobooks, this me meeting my goal would not have been possible at all. Because I listened to a ton of audiobooks. I also want to thank our local library, because without them, I wouldn't have been able to get my hands on some of these books. You might need it. And finally, I want to thank you too for doing this podcast with me, because it's obviously encouraged us to read more. So yes. and I'm loving it, even if only one person listens to this, it's still fun for us to get together and read books and discuss them. So, so yes, as I think because we took a month off of our podcast, I have a lot more books to share with you guys, so I only picked a few. So I read The Stars Beneath Our Feet. It's by David Barclay Moore.
Lauren, that is also on the list of best books.
Which I would also agree. It's very good. It's going to be made into a movie. The guy who's directing it is like famous. I think I can't think of his name off the top of my head, but he was like the lead actor in that Creed movie.
I never watched it, but I think I know who you're talking about.
Michael B. Jordan. So anyway, he's going to be directing it. So I'm super excited. This book, it's a middle grade book about a 12-year-old boy growing up in Harlem in New York City. And so it takes us on his coming of age journey as he deals with the death of his older brother, his parents' divorce, he's being threatened by gangs and pressured to join a gang. So this book tells how he uses his love of Legos to overcome and deal with the trials that he's going through. And I don't know, it put me in his shoes a little bit, as much as you can be. So I was able to understand just a little bit of what it must be like to grow up as a Black American in an urban setting like that. So I just think this book is great for middle schoolers to read. I think it would be good to read with their parents, or maybe in a classroom setting that your teacher's reading it with you. It has a lot of good conversation starters in it, and especially if you don't live in that kind of environment, to understand what kids in other parts of the country go through, or maybe even just different parts of your city, you know, what they might go through and experience. And I think kids that are going through that, it would be a great kind of an example of them, like how do we escape this or get out of this. So anyway, it was really good and I highly recommend it. I also read Feathers by Jacqueline Woodson. And this is a book that everyone can, like, it's geared for, I think, upper elementary. It's a shorter book. But I think adults and kids can learn a lot from it. And just so far, everything I've read from Jacqueline Woodson has just been amazing. She's so good. And she just causes me to face my own prejudice and change my mindset for the better. And I just want to thank you, Jacqueline Woodson, also. I'm just thanking everybody.
I feel like we should have, like, an award ceremony next year or something.
Finished up some Rick Riordan books. I just finished The Hammer of Thor and The House of Hades, which are part of two different series. And they came out a while ago, so I'm behind on those. But, you know, these are just fun adventure type books. They're not
like, you know, you can read whatever you want, whenever you want.
Exactly. You know, so these are, you're not going to learn any deep meaning. I mean, just, I'm being real here. You're not going to learn any deep meaningful lessons from these books, but they're fun. They're entertaining. And you learn about mythology. So you'll learn Greek and Roman.
I'm sure they have some heartwarming moments. Some Norse.
Yeah, there's some. I don't know. They're just entertaining. And I'm currently reading. Well, actually, I just finished this up last night. The Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them screenplay. You gave that to me for Christmas last year, and I finally read it.
I've seen
the movie, and it's just like reading the movie.
Next year, I expect that you'll finish this year's
book. I am almost through that one, too.
Nice.
And then I started listening to Mortal Engines by Philip Reeve. It's on audiobooks. It's the first book in the Hungry City Chronicles, and I'd never heard of this before, but I saw a trailer. They're making this into movies. Peter Jackson is going to be, he wrote the screenplay and he's directing. So I was like, well, I better read this. So
I should read it too.
It's right up my alley. Yeah, it's set in a futuristic dystopian steampunk world. So yes, it's right up Mandy's alley.
All the things.
So yeah, so the first movie is set to be released in December of this year. So if you've been to the theater in this past month, you've probably seen the teaser trailer for it.
You know, December of this year would mean a lot more if it wasn't January.
I know, but it's coming. And so anyway, so far, I mean, the book's, again, entertaining. It's one of those books when you read it, you're like, this would be a good movie, so.
Is it good, though? Has it gotten you sucked in?
Not as much as... I don't know if maybe if it would be different if I were reading it, you know, because sometimes when I'm listening to books, I'm not in it. But there are definitely suspenseful moments and you're like, what? And things happen that you don't expect. Yeah, maybe try audiobooks, Mandy.
You know, I've been considering it, but then I can't hold the book.
No, I can't.
But you don't hold the book, though. That's the problem. It gets you reading, and then maybe you will want to hold the book.
That's because true.
You're like in it.
Yeah, I'll try.
It'll get you in it.
I'll do audiobook for the next one, which I'll tell you at the end of
show. I'm so excited.
Well, anyway, that's my love of books. Do you have any book love, Mandy?
I'm reading Johnny Tremaine currently.
As we speak.
I'm also still trying to finish it, which with the size of that book. That is understandable. I have plans to continue reading the series, A Wrinkle in Time, that series, the next one in that.
Have fun.
Why?
I read the next one and I didn't like it, so I stopped reading them, but I will, I should probably finish it.
The first one was so good.
It was so good.
Lauren. I've got it in the queue, the bedside table queue.
Well, maybe the third one will be better than the second one. I guess part of the reason, and maybe... No, I'm not going to say anymore. I'm not going to say anymore because I want you to read it, okay? Because maybe you'll like it.
I hope so.
But yeah, I'm excited. That movie's coming out in March and we are going as a team of friends.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be fun. Yes. That's pretty much it. I mean, I have a whole bookshelf of books that I'm technically reading, but that's all I'll give you guys for now.
All right. Do you have book news, Mandy?
Oh, it's good to be back.
Wow.
In the newsroom. It's been a long winter. All right, because we always like to talk about Harry Potter. We have dates announced for tickets for Harry Potter, A History of Magic in New York.
I know, I'm super psyched, but I'm not going to probably go.
Well,
but
at least
it's in America.
If you're a listener,
you don't make it to Chicago.
You know, and you're in New York, or if you... you know, frequently visit there, you can go check that out. Maybe they'll have, like, a Facebook Live something where we can get little, you know, they do those things at those events. They'll show you little...
Oh, yeah. They did. I did read that article. It does say that it's going to be different than the one in London. It won't have the same things.
Of course. They always have to make it different. I don't know who this is that you sent me.
Jacqueline Woodson? We've just been talking about her. Feathers...
Okay, well, she was named the National Ambassador for Young People's Literature.
Yes.
Yes, you're right. She's got some Newbery Honors and stuff on here. She's got a nice little resume.
I feel like she'll get a winner one of these years.
I think so. She deserves it.
Yes.
And I also, another thing I love about it is like when you've read so many authors and you're at the library and you're looking at books, they'll put little blips on them. That might not be the technical term, but it'll say like Jacqueline Woodson says this about this book, or you know, things like that. Kwame Alexander says this about this book, and you're like, oh, I like them, so I'm gonna like this book. And that's how I read that Stars Beneath Our Feet. I'm pretty sure she was one of the people that recommended it. And also he wrote The Last Stop on Market Street.
Oh, Matt Dillipin.
Yeah, he recommended it too.
Yes, Matt, he's my best friend.
He's got a book coming out very soon. Another picture book. We already talked about it. Love. It's called Love.
Yes, we did. That was part of the book news one time. And then I was just
you know, taking a gander at what the internet says is the best books of 2017, and some of them we've discussed. Wonder is on there. Pretty sure this is a really old book, but The Boy in the Striped Pajamas is still, like, one of the most read.
I mean, Wonder wasn't written this year either, so.
And then I'm pretty sure I have this book, The Alchemist.
The Alchemist.
I started reading it. The Alchemist? Paulo. I don't know what his last name is.
It's been a recommended book or something.
Yeah, it sounds really familiar.
But I'm pretty sure I started reading it, and it was good. I just, I get distracted. So, but that pretty much wraps up the book news for today. Glad to be in a new year, and hopefully there'll be some more good things to talk about.
Yes, I'm sure there will be.
Well,
let's get into this book, guys.
Let's do it.
This episode, we're talking about Johnny Tremaine by Esther Forbes, and this book is the winner of the 1944 Newbery Medal. And this book came from a recommendation from, I don't know if he listens to our podcast, but we'll just say a listener of this podcast.
Someone who saw that we were doing a podcast on Facebook.
Former history teacher.
Yeah, Mandy's former teacher. Well, I shall read the blurb from Goodreads. It says, Johnny Tremaine, a young apprentice silversmith, is caught up in the danger and excitement of 1775 Boston, just before the Revolutionary War. But even more gripping than living through the drama of Revolutionary Boston is the important discovery Johnny makes in his own life.
Johnny.
Leah, do you have any tidbits about Esther?
Esther. Esther was born June 28th, 1891, in Westboro, Massachusetts. Ooh. And she died August 12th, 1967, also in Massachusetts. So she, what this was interesting to me, I feel like we've heard this from somebody else, one of our other authors, but she really struggled in school. She was nearsighted, and she was also dyslexic. And so she struggled, she worked really hard, but she just didn't do well academically. However, she was extremely imaginative and creative, as one might imagine. And so she actually turned in a creative story for schoolwork to her teacher, and that teacher accused her of plagiarism, and that kind of kept her back from sharing any of her works for a while. So she didn't show that teacher anything else, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, she moved to Wisconsin and went to the University of Wisconsin. Her sister was a teacher there. That's why she moved there. So she took a few classes, and then she finally found a teacher she could trust with her creative works. And so she shared a story with that teacher, and they encouraged her to submit it to a magazine. And she ended up winning the O. Henry Prize for Short Stories in 1915.
Nice.
So obviously that started her off quite well. I'm not dyslexic, but I have severe issues with spelling correctly.
Me too.
So after college, she moved back to Massachusetts, and she worked for a publishing company as a typist. But because she couldn't spell, they moved her to reading manuscripts instead.
Aww.
I could relate with that issue. So she got married. She married a lawyer in 1926, and I think they were only married until 1933. And in 1926, she published her first novel, which is intriguing. I'm considering reading it just because her point of view in this book was interesting to me. There's been a few authors we've read that have had the ability to really take you, like Rats of Nim. Mm-hmm, I felt like with that book, we were right there with the rats. And I felt like with this book also, we were right there with the people, like in their minds, in their hearts, like experiencing right along with them. I'm sure there's a technical term for that, but they don't pay us enough for that kind of stuff. So one of her first books, I don't know if this was her exactly first book, but one of her books is called Mirror for Witches. And it was about the Salem witch trials. And they say that it really helps the reader experience history from a first-person view. Which I think is why this book was so influential in his teacher's life. It gave him a love of history. Because you're right there with Johnny Tremaine, like meeting all these characters from history.
Yeah.
And so I thought that was intriguing. So I'm kind of interested in reading that book. Yes, it looks really good. She wrote 11 different works. So she doesn't have a very large portfolio of works, but the ones she did were mainly about history. Before she wrote this book, she wrote a book about Paul Revere, which I think is really telling. And she really dove into that period, which made it easier to write a more fun kids book. And she published this as being for kids and adults, like all ages, which I think it probably would be.
I agree.
So she did. She tried to publish it with one company, but they wanted to change too much about it. And so she ended up going with a company that she had worked for previously. And they said, we'll publish it. We won't change anything. And so that's nice. The version that we have.
I also read, because at the beginning of the book that I got from the library, it kind of talked about her a little bit and how, like, just her writing style and how when she wrote, she, like, didn't really use punctuation or anything.
Well, like, that makes sense.
So her editors, like, they had to do a lot of work.
Oh, yes.
Because like, they would tell her to tidy it up and give it back to them. And she's like, no, nice. this is what I got.
This is what I was adding to you.
But I don't know. Part of me likes that because... Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, grammar and punctuation is important, but as far as, like, just getting your story out, like, that's a big tip that I've heard from several writers. It's just, like, don't worry about that stuff. Just get your idea out, and you can fix, you know, you can fix stuff later.
Yeah.
So, I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, and I think that's what we've seen, because somebody else had issues with school and issues with making the mark in our... system that we're in, and I think it's really amazing that people like Esther were able to persevere and get their story out there, because you have issues in one area of learning doesn't mean you don't have an amazing creative mind that has a story to be told. So way to go, way to be an inspiration, Esther, all these years later.
Awesome. Well, guys, what are your overall thoughts on this book,
Mandy?
I really liked what I read, which is about half of the book. But like you said, it was... The beginning was kind of slow for me.
Yeah,
it was. But then like once I got further into it, it was like Leah said. It was like I was like right there. And like I was even reading it on my breaks today at work. I was like, what's going to happen next, Johnny? So, it kind of got to my heart a little bit. I felt bad for him. Mm-hmm. You know, even though he was a little prideful, I don't think that what happened to him, I don't think it was necessary. That's how I feel. The punishment doesn't fit the crime. Okay.
What do you think, Leah?
I appreciate about this book that it... has inspired children, and I think it continues to inspire children to have more of an interest in history, because you see it not just dates and names and things you need to memorize, but actual stories that happened. And so I really liked that about it. I didn't read it when I was a kid, but I think I would have enjoyed it as a child.
I think all kids should read it, because I think I would have been more into history had I read something like that.
Well, and I read a lot of the American Girl books. That inspired me to learn more about history. I was very into history because of that. And also learn about more other cultures and things like that.
And those, Dear America?
Dear America books. Like those diary books. I never read
those. Oh, they were so good. Because there's other ones too. Because there was like, I think I read one about the pilgrims. It was a pilgrim girl. And then they had them like a... royal people, like Queen like Victoria. The
French, there was a French queen.
Yeah, I can remember seeing you had some of those. Yeah, books.
We read all, everything we could get our hands on.
And you learn, and obviously it's like historical fiction, but they use you know real stuff. It's like she's writing a diary about her.
And when I got to history class, because we read those early on, when I got to history class,
like, oh, I know this.
I knew a lot already because I'd been immersed in these stories.
And it's different than just learning the facts. It's like it's like you're put into their shoes almost, and so it's more real to
you. Which, that's the point of learning about history, is to learn about the mistakes and
the
successes of the past.
And that's, like, one of the things I loved about this book is that, I mean, there were things in this book that I did already know that happened, but there were things that I didn't know. Mm-hmm. And there were definitely things that we weren't taught in school, but that I learned later on. Right. That you're, it's just stuff that you're not told because right. it puts our forefathers in a negative light. Because there were definitely...
We don't want that.
Right. There were definitely individuals on the quote-unquote good side
right.
that were manipulating the situation yep. to bring war.
Yep.
And whether or not... I mean, it's not a black and white issue. No, it's just not. Is. But we weren't ever taught that. And if we were, I don't remember it. But I feel like I would have. But you just... There's some things that I think aren't in American history books on purpose because... They don't want to make anything about mm-hmm. America look well, bad.
I'm sure it's like that in any country you go to.
Yeah, I mean, so, and the country I just, bad. So, I like this book, and I, and what you were saying, Leah, it's just, I wrote it down. I want to get it right.
Were you finished, Leah? I feel like we kind of.
Oh, I must, yeah, I'm
just good. Started discussing.
Oh, just about. Oh, I just. Sorry, I've got like 5 pages.
She's unrolling her scroll down a little further.
She's very thorough.
No, I just think in our history books, it's actually quite common and about like many kind of cataclysmic events in our history mm-hmm. books where they only talk about like the positive things.
Right.
They mm-hmm. don't tell you the negative things. And I'm thinking of like Rosa Parks. Mm-hmm. So that story, you know, we were always taught, well, she was just, you know, she just wanted, she was old and she needed to sit down or whatever. And then I learned later on in one of my college history courses that was all planned. Like, it was part of not a conspiracy, but it was planned for her to do that and get arrested because it was going to cause attention to be drawn to that right. situation, yep. you know, and the fact that they would arrest an old lady and yep. all this other yep. stuff. So it's just, and so some people might take that as, well, a negative thing, but...
To issues, me, that makes you know. It even more important because yeah. there was such a large movement going on that no one could see.
Yeah.
No one wanted to see.
No one, yeah, exactly.
And they were able to, in a very nonviolent exactly. way,
yeah.
bring their plight to a broader audience. Yeah,
exactly. So, I don't know. To me, it's just there's a common theme in history books that if this person is an American, they're good, and we can only discuss the positive aspects of them. And, I don't know, I think it's important to point out the negative because, you know, it brings up discussion and debate because, like I've said, it's not always a black and white issue.
Right.
You know, there is room for right. argument in a lot of these things. And I think we need to be teaching kids how to think.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Instead of just regurgitating facts. And for me, that's all history class was. It was just memorize yep. these names, memorize these dates, memorize these places instead of... What do you think was going on? Or why do you think they did this? Or, you know, just learning to reason and think. Yeah. Because I don't think I learned how to do that until I was in right. college, you know. I just
Which I think just is memorize what stuff. The beauty of reading and the library mm-hmm. and this access to knowledge
yeah.
and causing a love in children. Because mm-hmm. when they start studying things out for themselves, you can't help but find... The true facts. And I know that there are certain books that have been banned and there is some of that goes on. But
even in that, I think we can help kids learn discernment.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And to learn for themselves, like, hey, you know, maybe what this is happening in this book isn't that great or whatever. Right. I mean, they have to learn how to discern. You can't just shield them from the world. And as a
child, I remember reading. I didn't always read, you know, the sanctified mm-hmm. books.
Right.
I read, and I remembered, as a kid like, what is right yeah, and what is wrong. This is
wrong. Yeah.
And so you, and yeah. if you decide to do something stupid that you learn in a book, that's going to be a purposeful choice to do something mm-hmm. stupid that you learned in yeah. a book.
Right. Because honestly, no one's gonna talk in most of that. These books where there's, you know, wrong things happening, you know, like yeah. the book is clearly painting it as it's, you know, not a good thing or whatever, you know, right. and, mm-hmm. and that may not be the case today with things that are happening in our world today.
Right.
But I think if parents could read these books with their kids and they could talk about it and yep. say, this is what our family believes. Right. Not every other well, family even, believes this. I used this. To
read the Babysitter Club books and their family morals did not line up with my family's right, yeah. morals. And I knew where those lines were mm-hmm. and knew, you know, right. that's just how someone else
is. And I think it's and also acting. Good to teach our kids, like, just because our family doesn't do this, doesn't mean that we're better than, right. you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because right. I think that can happen. It's right. like, well, we don't watch TV on Wednesdays or whatever. I'm just being stupid right now. But you know what I mean? Like, our family doesn't do this, and so we're better than you because you do that. Right. You know, like, letting kids know, like, this is our family's choice and decision, but if other families don't do that, or if they do something different than us, it's not necessarily a bad thing, or, you know, don't look down on them or whatever. So, anyway. I liked this book. Like you guys have both been saying, it puts you right into the thick of it, you know. And you really, I don't know, you just go through these emotions, and like Mandy said, like, at the beginning of the book, you hate Johnny because he's so arrogant and so mean and even a bully at times. But, like, he has such big dreams for himself. And when those dreams get, I mean, they're taken away from him in an instant. And you just feel, like, so crushed for him because you're like, man, like, that's awful.
Especially since that's, like, that was, like, his plan for, like, his whole life. Exactly. And it's like,
yeah, and now I have to figure out something else. Back to the
drawing board, Johnny.
Yeah. And I don't know. I think just as someone who, I mean, I'm 30 years old, but I'm still trying to figure out my life. Like, as somebody that's kind of in that stage of life where you're just making plans and dreams for yourself, and that doesn't happen, it's just, you know, it's hard. Because, then you're like, well, what is my life, you know?
Well, and I think that also, in the children's point of view, I think that teaches a really good lesson because your life is not going to turn out.
Spoiler alert! It doesn't go the way you think.
I think that, especially in today's day and age, kids are so sheltered and protected, and then when they get out and face disappointment, it's really hard to deal with that. But to see this young boy who has a incredible disappointment and to the point where he can't even provide for himself because of it. I think it's really good for kids to see that kind of scenario play out. Obviously his story is fiction, but still.
Could be real.
Could be real.
Could be real.
Did you have other thoughts about the book, Lauren?
Not any overall thoughts, I don't think.
I would like to know how it ends.
Have you met Rab?
Yes.
Okay. Well, okay, so it talks about the Boston Tea Party. Do you know what that is,
yes,
Mandy?
Yes, I know what that is.
So Johnny and Rab, they're the Sons of Liberty. It's like this group of...
So he joined the crew?
Yes.
Yes!
And so he ends up living with Rab and helping out, you know, he delivers messages to people. That becomes his new purpose. And so they join up, and so they do the Boston Tea Party, and this part was so intriguing to me, and it was, I don't know if I've ever learned this before, that when they went on to the ships, the ships weren't allowed to leave and go back to England until they had unloaded their stuff, but Boston wouldn't let them unload the tea. I think they let them unload everything else, but they wouldn't let them unload the tea because of the tax. And so they just were sitting in the harbor and they couldn't go anywhere. So the tea company is losing business. The shipping companies are losing money. And so I think they gave him like 30 days to leave. And they couldn't leave. I don't know, which is weird stuff. So anyway, they...
Rules are rules.
But when they went on there, onto the ships, they were told, we're dumping the tea. You can't take any tea. For yourself, you need, we're dumping all of it, and you also can't, like, they swept up after they were done. They, like, kept it clean. And it was cool to me is when they went on there, like, the people that were on the ship just, they said, we're gonna go into this room, and they, like, gave them the keys and, like, showed them how to, like, break open the packages of tea. So they, like, because I don't know if they were just like, yeah, they just want to get out of here. Right. I don't know. So, like, and in this story, it talks about how Johnny sees another boy trying to take tea and stuff it in his pockets. And that very well may have happened, and he makes him throw it. You know, I don't know if he, did he throw the whole, did he throw the boy overboard? Yeah, he throws the boy overboard.
So that was Johnny fashion right there.
To me, that was very interesting because you have that side of it where they're trying to have integrity and do things, you know, quote unquote, the right way. But then you have, you know, people like Samuel Adams and all of them, like, they were manipulating the situation to bring war. And I think maybe in their minds they thought, this isn't going to go away. This fight over this taxation crap isn't going to go away until something big, like, we need to get out from under England.
And well, I think they knew. Inspire all the other people to want to get
and
out
And I from think they knew the only way was to go to war, to revolt. And there may be, you know, like I said, there's so much room for debate here because maybe there was a better way to do it, but I don't know. But I just think it's interesting, like, that it wasn't just England coming and shooting people. There was stuff happening
right
on both ends. So, but yeah. So then they end up they go to war, and and Rab dies.
Oh,
R.I.P. Rab.
Yep.
No.
A lot of people die, actually.
Well, it's war.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
He was such a nice guy.
I have to mourn now.
But, like, kind of the main quote of the book is, like, we're doing this so that a man can stand.
Mm-hmm. Which, if you think about where they're coming from, the people didn't have a say.
Yeah.
Even in England, they really didn't have a say. Like, maybe a little bit, but in general, even now, they still have the royal family that the people have no say over them mm-hmm. being in existence. Like, they're paying for them. Mm-hmm, like, everything's happening. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I've been watching The Crown.
Me
and
too.
Somebody said something to that effect, and it really struck me. Like, for us, it's like, oh, it's so fun. Mm-hmm. There's a queen and a king, and it's so pretty. For them, this is, like, they are paying for these people to exist in luxury.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, like, what? And I just finished the season 2 of The Crown, and then I started, so because I finished that, then Netflix was like, you might like this, and so it's just a documentary on the royal, it's the Windsor family in general, and just basically how, I think kind of the main premise of the documentary is just how they've survived, like, they've made it their goal to just survive.
Right, which is all you can do in this era.
Exactly. Like. And so I was watching it. My husband came in and he's, you know, seen me watching all this. He's like, what is your fascination with this? I'm like, it's just fascinating to me that they're still around. Yep. Like, it's just really fascinating to me. And The Crown is fun to watch because, I mean, Queen Elizabeth, she's still alive. Like, all these people are, well, most of them are still alive from this show. And I don't know, it's just cool to me to, like, see just what they do and how they operate.
So coming from England in that kind of environment where you've always had this monarchy and
which I think back then the king actually had more
power,
more say.
It makes sense that they would want to get out from under that. Like, they've come over here for a better way and not to still be under you know, dictatorship.
Cut the ties.
Yep, pretty much.
But, yeah. I don't know where we were going with that.
We went there.
It doesn't matter. It's our podcast.
That's right. It's our conversation. If you want to join in, you can send us an email.
I think it's so interesting that this is our beginning, but anytime we see people struggling for freedom and struggling for a voice, all of a sudden they're the bad guys.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, that's how we got here. Yeah. That's where how
if
we
you're
have
revolting,
a voice
you're
right
evil.
Now.
Yeah. Or if you're rising up against, you know, any type of authority, a government authority, then you're bad.
No, sometimes there are things you need to stand up for.
Yeah. Exactly.
And these people died so a man can stand, and now people are standing and still.
Exactly. Well, as I'm reading this book, I just remember looking up one night. I just looked at my husband and I was like, there's no way this could happen in America. Or I don't even know. Like, in our country, there's no way this could happen. Like, if something were going on like this and people had said they'd had enough, I think we're stuck. Like, I mean, there's no way that anything like that could happen because
I think everyone is lulled into a sense of, I don't know.
You just go
laziness.
With it. Yeah. Because, I mean, at least not in that way. I mean, they had to resort to violence. If anybody takes up arms against the government, you're going to die. Like, I don't even think it would get to that point. I mean, they have a military, you know, like with...
Like the strongest.
Exactly. And so there's just no... We would not be able to go about it that way, you know? And even, I don't know, I just feel like even if you're trying to peacefully protest... I don't know. It's just...
Well, and at that point, it wasn't like a whole... They just had a little hold on this little place. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't as... Mm-hmm. It wasn't America as it exactly. is today.
I'm just thinking if there were a state or a city that says, yeah, we just want to be our own thing. We don't want to be America.
I feel like Texas could do it.
I don't know. I just...
Texas got a lot of guns.
They would go down fighting, for sure.
They would go down fighting. I don't think they would make
it. Well, here's the thing, though. It also... The other controlling factor is the eyes of the world.
That's true.
I mean, that's
true.
What happened in Ukraine. Like, that's those true. People that were revolting didn't have all that much power, mm-hmm. but the eyes of the world were on them in that moment mm-hmm. because of the technology we have today, yeah. and they could get out the truth, even though they tried to block them. So I think that's the other controlling factor in today's society. Yeah. Like, if the world watches... America go in. I feel like we're gonna like be swarmed in on right now.
Team friendship has been picked up by the feds.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Though. You're not gonna if you're in America, you're not getting out.
Right, but I'm just saying, like if there were a public eye on a revolt like that, which is what they needed to do in this moment,
and they were trying to spread, and that's like. Johnny kind of helped spread, like, the news, and they were trying to get into different cities.
Which it shows the power of the press mm-hmm. and of news. Exactly. Real news. Mm-hmm. Not fake news.
Let's not even go there, please. Oh, my word,
only what you,
guys. You
read on Facebook is real news.
Yeah.
Everyone knows
Or
that.
On Trump's Twitter feed. Oh, my word.
Oh, we just went political. We're going to lose our
Get
one
out.
Listener.
Back up.
Oh, is Joey a big...
our number one fan, Joey. We got to make sure we keep this
anyway,
the way he likes it.
He's
so, yeah, it's just interesting to me. Just the different times and just how things
true.
Are so different. And, yeah, interesting.
Yep. My issue with this book was half the time... I didn't know what in the world they were talking about because, like, the way that Johnny would tease with the girls confused me. Like, I didn't... Give me your book. Okay, so Scylla and what's the other girl's name? What's her name?
Izzy.
Scylla and Izzy. The way they would tease with him, and it didn't feel like teasing to me. And maybe I just don't understand, like, 19, whatever it is, teasing.
You thought they were being too mean?
Yeah, it was weird.
I thought so, too.
It was very mean-spirited. Yeah. A lot of it was very mean-spirited.
Yeah, well, they were harder people back then.
And maybe that was
rough
the point
around
she
the
was
edges.
Getting across. But I didn't find it funny. I felt like, Nora, is it funny? No.
It's funny. No, it's not funny.
I don't know. I didn't like it, and I had a hard time following it because I just kept thinking, like, they think it's funny, but I don't understand what's happening right now.
Yeah.
And some of the wit and, like, the banter just in general in different scenes, I just found it confusing, and maybe I'm just not smart enough to understand.
Is that why you thought this book was weird?
Just those weird moments in the beginning. It was hard to get through the beginning for me.
Yeah, I had issues with the beginning.
And,
yeah.
It gets better, though. So if you're going to read it, it's okay.
One of the things that I did like about this book was it forced me to look up words because half of the
there
words I didn't know. And so I started a word journal because of this book.
Look at you.
Because I don't have a very big vocabulary, and... That's something that I don't like about myself.
Mm-hmm,
I think maybe when I was in high school, I might have had a bigger vocabulary because you learn vocabulary words every
right.
week. But now that you're old, now that I'm older, I just mm-hmm, use kind of the same words and phrases over and over again. And so I'm like, I need to expand.
There you go.
My vocabulary, and so I learned a ton of words, and I was thinking because obviously I've read a ton of books in this past. Few months this year, and you know, some of the books I read, like, I'll just give an example, Rick Riordan. I don't hardly ever have to look up words in his books except for the Greek and Roman
right.
gods or whatever, which he puts a whatever it's called in the back of the book.
Her vocabulary. I can't even keep up with her vocabulary right now.
But you guys understand
she's talking about like a glossary.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, a glossary. See, this is my problem. I need a bigger this vocabulary. So anyway, which is helpful. But I just think, and I thought about a lot of the other, especially the Newbery books we've read, almost all of them have made me have to do that. And I don't know, I just think that's awesome because I think that's what literature should do. It should grow a reader's vocabulary. Mm-hmm. It should, you know, you shouldn't feel stupid for not knowing the word. Just keep a dictionary by you. And if you've got a phone, and you've always got
it. If you have a Kindle, I'm pretty sure, like, you can just, like, click on the word
and it gives you the definition right away. It's fancy. So, I mean, I wrote down, like, let's see, 11 words from this book that I didn't know what they were.
Give us a little glimpse.
All right. So the first word I wrote down was repoussé, which is a technique in which a malleable metal is ornamented or shaped by hammering from the reverse side to create a design.
That will be very useful in your day-to-day conversation.
She's wanted to be syllabub. A smith for a long time.
Syllabub was fun because that's a whipped cream dessert.
Ooh, I can use that. Yes.
And dilatory, which is slow to act. Or intending to cause delays.
I feel like it was.
Ardor, which is enthusiasm or passion.
We just didn't retain the knowledge. This is fun. Guys.
Punctilious.
Ooh.
Showing great attention to detail or correct behavior. That is me. I am punctilious. I am a rule follower. We'll so I'm going to replace t-shirt. Rule follower with punctilious.
Punctilious.
There you go. Yes.
So, yeah. I'm going to tell her to stop being so punctilious.
Yes. Discomfiture, a feeling of unease, embarrassment, or awkwardness. So, you know, fun words. But yeah, I love that. I love it so much. Let's learn new words, guys. Keep a word journal in 2018.
Let's do it.
I'm doing it.
I'm going to buy one right when I leave here.
You know what needs to be done in this world? Someone needs to make an app where you can take pictures of quotations that you like in books. Because when you borrow books from the library and you want to keep a quotation, I don't have to handwrite all of my quotations out. Especially when we're doing these kind of books, because it's not something where,
like, you could take a picture and then, like, highlight.
So
what
there
you
are,
want.
There's like one. So, yes. So there's scanning apps that you can use. Okay. And I want something where it's easier to organize your quotations for book lovers. And there was an app, I downloaded it, and it does not work. So
maybe we need to make it better.
Someone,
I don't know how to do apps, guys.
That's why I need someone to do it.
Yeah.
Okay. But getting me credit for the idea.
Get on this.
Well, is that, we gotta wrap it up here, so is that all we have to say? Any last thoughts about this book, guys?
No.
I have one last thought.
Leah's last thought.
The relationship with the fancy lady, and, I really should have written down these names.
Oh, yes.
Her I don't name have my book. Was... It's a struggle right now.
Fancy lady.
And the little, pretty little girl. It was very strange to me. I didn't like that.
Oh, yes. Izzy was the
That was another part.
Girl. Oh, Lavinia. Lavinia.
So the
No, that was his mom.
No.
There were a lot of names. This has always been my issue with history.
No, Lavinia.
Yeah, so you're right.
But his mom's name was Lavinia, too. That's why I was confused.
So the relationship between those two was also something I struggled with throughout the book. That was strange.
Yeah, I didn't understand what was going on there.
Yeah. I mean, maybe that was just, you know, it was a different time.
Yeah, it was normal to you take, could just have take a like
a for a child
a,
for a pet.
A girl underneath your wing.
Maybe that was like the female apprenticeship.
Yeah, you know, you could maybe. Be right, Mandy. You could be very right.
It was just, it was
because women
strange.
Had a different, different roles back then than they do now.
Yes.
And she, I mean,
praise
this...
God that I live in this time period.
Right. The author had already, like, dove into that time period, so maybe she knew that that was something that happened.
Interesting.
And it was weird and strange, but it happened, so she put it in her book. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know why that was there. Anyway, that was my final thought.
That's funny. So, quickly, the 1944 Newbery Honor books were These Happy Golden Years by Laura Ingalls Wilder.
We know her.
Fog Magic by Julia Sawyer, Rufus M by Eleanor Estes, and Mountain Born by Elizabeth Yates. So check those out. So, Mandy, what's our next book?
Ah, it's gonna be The Graveyard Book by Neil Gaiman.
Oh, I knew you were gonna pick one of his books.
I was tied between another one, but I will save that unless one of you guys decides to pick it.
The Graveyard Book is what it's called. Yes. What year was that?
It was 2008.
Awesome. All right, you heard it here, folks. Our next book, The Graveyard Book.
That might have been when it was published. I don't know if that's the year one.
How do you say his name?
Gaiman? Neil Gaiman.
Yes. Neil Gaiman. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Winner of the...
Fun fact. The same year that he won the Newbery Medal for this book, he also won the British Carnegie Medal for this book. And it's the first time that the same book won both.
So, because that's British, that's Britain's version of the Newbery Medal, right?
So, I don't know how that happened.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll find out in our next podcast. Leah will
tell us.
She'll tell us how it happened.
Remind me to look that up. I will. All
right, so quickly, we just wanted to quickly talk about our favorite new book that we read for this podcast in 2017. So, Mandy, what was your favorite book that we read?
A Wrinkle in Time.
Why was that your favorite?
It was just
book?
So cool. It was just so, I don't know. I feel like it was just kind of a little bit different than, I mean, all the books that we've read are a little bit out there, but that one was just.
It was like sci-fi. Yeah.
And I'm
really
into that
cool.
stuff, the I guess. Dystopian so, thing. Yeah. Maybe that's why I liked it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Lauren wouldn't let me pick my favorite book, so.
Well, all of our, I feel like
we
all
unanimously
of ours,
love.
We all love Flora and Ulysses the best. So I made everyone pick a different, like that book was so good. I mean, nothing tops that for me.
No.
It was so good. So, yeah, Kate, you're the winner of 2017
good
for
job.
True Friendship.
Thank you, Kate.
I'm going to tweet that to her.
We should.
So I guess if I can't pick that one, I would say it's a two-way tie between Bridge of Terabithia and the Tale of Despero.
Interesting.
Yes.
I don't know. I like books that give me all the feels.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
Those both did.
Yep.
Bridge of Terabithia was too much for me, man.
Mm-hmm.
It was too much.
It was intense. One.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't think I could pick a favorite, so I wrote down five books. No, four books.
You broke the rules.
How many books did we even do?
Not that many. Leah can't pick Flora and Ulysses, but you could have like five.
You've stolen my joy.
You can have Flora and Ulysses. And that would be on my list too, so then I'd have six books.
Oh my goodness.
No, I really like the crossover. That book was, it does
it
give you all
really
the feels,
good.
And it's, you know, it's a little bit different as it's written in verse.
Mm-hmm.
That was really good. I love Bridge of Terabithia. It was so good. It made me cry.
Mm-hmm.
So books that make me cry automatically are up there.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think for me, it's more about how I feel when I read a book than actually what happens in the
right.
book, kind of. You know what I mean? Like, it's just that kind of stays with me longer.
Mm-hmm.
I also like Last Stop on Market Street. You know, it's a simple picture book, but it had so much in it, so I'm really looking forward to his next book.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So I also liked The Girl That Drank the Moon. That was really
I liked that book.
That was a fun book.
It took you on an adventure.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It was a fun book.
And I really loved The Story of Mankind.
That was from last year, so
that's from
count.
2016. So yeah.
Otherwise, it totally would have been on my list.
I just blocked it out of my brain of when we did it.
Poor Story of Mankind.
We did it, you guys.
Yeah.
We did do it.
Well, should we let the people know how to get a hold of us, guys?
We should.
You can email us. Tell us what your favorite book of 2017 was. Email us at teamfriendshippodcast@gmail.com.
You can follow us on Instagram at teamfriendshippodcast.
We're on Facebook. www.facebook.com/teamfriendshippodcast.
We're also on Twitter at @3friendspodcast.
And our website, teamfriendshippodcast.com.
You can find me on Twitter at @GracieFirstborn. And like Leah said, we're all on Goodreads, so
yeah, I don't know how to find
I think
you.
I think you just have to type in our name.
Mm-hmm.
Alright. Well, look me up on Goodreads, everybody. Leah clap.
You can follow me on Instagram at Mandy Malay.
Well, folks, we'll see you all in another time.
And remember, friends, no two persons ever read the same book.
And if you're Mandy, you didn't finish this one because you were drafted into World War II.
To go first.
Oh yeah, that's what we're reading.
Wow. I was like, what is this thinking about? I've heard of this. What is this? I love books too.
I will start.
All right.
Mandy.
I hope he doesn't listen to this podcast. Probably going to.
Now you're gonna make us all look really bad.
Yeah, we look terrible. All right, let's figure it out. Let's find out.
I would know it if I.
If I weren't trying to think about it. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So, on a more. Are we still talking about the book?
If you would, are you still talking about the book? Then yes.